This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. This spotlight is on Pinot Gris. Pinot Gris and Pinot Grigio are the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of the wine world. Pinot Gris or Pinot Grigio, same grape variety, and like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the name describes the style of wine. Pinot Gris is French for grey Pinot. Pinot Grigio is Italian for grey Pinot. But it isn't just the name. Pinot Grigio is often a lighter, more neutral wine, while Pinot Gris is a richer wine with more body. It's a different name, but two sides of the same grape. As I said, Pinot Gris is the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of the wine world. In this spotlight, we're going to look at Pinot Gris, its characteristics, how it's made, and also the key places in the world that grow Pinot Gris. And in general, in this spotlight, I'm going to use the term Pinot Gris when I'm just referring to the grape variety, not to a particular style or place. So let's find out about the grape variety. And to start off with, Pinot Gris is technically a mutation of Pinot Noir. In fact, it's mutated so much that it's changed colour. Pinot Noir is a red grape variety. Pinot Gris is the grey version of that grape variety. You'll also see another grape variety known as Pinot Blanc. Again, they're all genetic mutations of Pinot Noir, but we tend to treat them now as individual grape varieties, and Pinot Gris even has its own clones as well. So there are mutations of Pinot Noir, but we now treat Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc as individual grape varieties in their own right. Pinot Gris, like its red namesake, Pinot Noir, is an early budding, early ripening grape variety. It also, like Pinot Noir, tends to thrive in cool to moderate climates, such as Alsace or parts of Veneto region in Italy. In warm climates, such as in Italy, Pinot Grigio sugars can build quite high, but the acidity can become low. To manage this in the warmer climates, you often have high yields and you pick the grapes quite early. Picking the grapes means that these high volume wines are both cheap, dry, and usually with quite neutral flavours, maybe pears or lemons. If you're trying to grow a high-volume Pinot Gris, you'll tend to use a different clone than if you're trying to make a high-quality Pinot Gris. So the grape varieties used in Italy to produce high-volume Pinot Grigio are often pale-skinned and they produce large, fleshy grapes. Whereas high-quality Pinot Gris is usually made using clones that are chosen to produce smaller berries and produce more depth of flavour. High quality Pinot Gris can be dry, off-dry, often with an oily texture, ripe tropical fruits and hints of ginger and honey. And because high quality Pinot Gris grape skins are also deeper in colour, they often produce wines with a golden appearance. Internationally, if you're trying to make a high quality Pinot Gris, you'll tend to call it Pinot Gris. Internationally, if you're making a high-volume Pinot Gris, you'll tend to call it Pinot Grigio. But don't get trapped into thinking that all Pinot Grigio is of high-volume and more inexpensive. There are some excellent high-quality Italian Pinot Grigio being produced and still labelled as Pinot Grigio. So most of the wines you'll see labelled Pinot Grigio will be these high-volume, simple wines, but every now and then in Italy, you'll see some real good quality stuff, and we'll talk about those later on. Pinot Gris is also susceptible to botrytis and can be used to make wines with noble rot. Whether it's Pinot Gris or Pinot Grigio, it is not an aromatic grape variety. Aromatic grape varieties are grape varieties that have loads of flavour, and that's things like Riesling, Sauvignon Blancs, Muscats. Whereas Pinot Gris is a bit like Chardonnay. Now, the nice thing about Pinot Gris being a bit like Chardonnay is it's amenable to the winemaker. it can be fiddled around with by winemakers. And next up, we're going to talk about some of the options you could use if you're trying to make Pinot Gris. Now, there's lots of options in the winery that you could use. Normally, if you're an aromatic grape variety, you're trying to not do too much in the winery and hold on to the flavors. Where with Pinot Gris, there's less flavor, so you can add layers of flavor to the wine. And it starts off very early on. You might crush the grapes and then leave the juice in contact with the skins for a little bit of skin contact before pressing, and that will help extract flavors from the skins and maybe a little bit of tannins. The level of clarification of the juice. If the juice is run through lots of filters and remove most particulate matter, you'll land up with a very simple, clean style of wine. And if you don't filter at all, or very little, you'll land up with more grape material in the tank, and that can lead to more complexity in the wines. The tank that you ferment in can make a difference. In New Zealand and Italy, stainless steel tanks are very, very common. But in Alsace, they can use old oak tanks known as foudre. These Alsace tanks are very old, and they're absolutely coated in tartaric crystals on the inside. So you can consider them to be inert in terms of picking up flavors from the barrels. However, they do allow a little bit of oxidation going on, and that again can increase complexity. Depending on the barrel will determine what options you've got regarding fermentation temperature. Remember, lower temperatures tend to produce wines that have got more fruit in them. Warmer temperatures will lose fruit but may gain some complexity. Lees aging, where the wine lies on the dead yeast for a period of time afterwards, can help build texture. You may find in cooler regions malolactic fermentation is used, but generally they won't be used in warmer regions as the acidity in Pinot Gris can drop quite quickly during the final period of ripening. So malolactic conversion, malolactic fermentation is less likely to be done. So Pinot Gris has a lot of options a winemaker can make, and they can really stamp their style on this grape variety, similar to Chardonnay. Now let's look at some regions, and the main region we're going to focus in, and we're going to do a bit of a deep dive, is on Alsace. Alsace has a cool to moderate continental climate, and the key thing about Alsace is it's located on the far east side of France, quite northerly at around 48 degrees latitude, so cool to moderate continental climate. But it has one key feature, and that is the Vosges Mountains. The Vosges Mountains are a quite high mountain range that creates a rain shadow for the Alsace wine region. In fact, the Vosges Mountains creates a rain shadow for Alsace. It also helps to create a rain shadow for Baden in Germany, which is on the other side of the Rhine River. And the Vosges Mountains don't just stop in France. They continue into Germany, where they're known as the Haret Mountains, exactly the same mountain range, and there they provide a similar rain shadow for Pfalz. The rain shadow caused by the Vosges Mountains means that in Alsace, it's quite sunny, it's cloud-free, and they have very dry autumns. This means that Alsace is actually a brilliant place to grow grapes. There's very low disease pressure, so concepts like organic and biodynamic are a lot easier in a place like Alsace than it is in a maritime climate where there's a lot more disease pressure, and the limitations associated with organics and biodynamics makes grape growing much harder in a maritime climate. Whereas in Alsace, organics, biodynamics, a lot easier because of the lack of disease pressure associated with being lovely and dry and sunny. The best wines from Alsace come from the foothills of the Vosges Mountains, and here the foothills give a range of aspects. They give drainage to water and to frost as well. And because we are in this cool to moderate continental climate, frost can be a risk in Alsace. In the foothills in Alsace, the frost tends to flow down the hills and it doesn't cause massive problems. And as a result, often the vines are trained quite close to the ground in Alsace on the foothills because the frost won't be a problem. And being close to the ground heat can radiate back to the vine, helping the grapes ripen. When you get off the foothills into the plain, from running from the Vosges Mountains to the Rhine River, here grapes are grown, but because it's flat, the frost will build up, and as a result, the vines tend to be trained quite high up. Quality Pinot Gris tends to be grown in the foothills on the slopes, and on the flat, they tend to grow Pinot Blanc, which is used to make sparkling Cremant d'Alsace, so sparkling wines from Pinot Blanc. Pinot Gris on the foothills gets riper because it's planted close to the ground. Pinot Blanc on the plain, less ripe, but you don't need the grapes as ripe to make a Cremant as you need to make a good quality white wine. In Alsace, Pinot Gris is known as a noble grape variety. And there's four noble grape varieties in Alsace. These are Riesling, Muscat, Gewürztraminer, and Pinot Gris. Generally, the top wines in Alsace are sold as single varietal wines, and they have varietal labeling on them. And this has been well established for a long time. For a long time in the past, grape varietal labeling was not allowed in France, but it's always been allowed in Alsace. This is because Pinot Gris, as a single variety, is a radically different style of wine to a Riesling as a single variety, or a Muscat, or a Gewürztraminer. So it makes sense to label wines by the grape variety if they're single varietals. You will see some blended wines in Alsace. These tend to be cheaper wines, and then often labeled as Eidelswicker or Gentil. Eidelswicker and Gentil will be blends. They're normally not particularly expensive, and they will not have the variety on the label. That said, just be careful. There is some very rare Alsace Grand Cru wines that are blended, but these are very, very rare wines. Now, there are Alsace Grand Cru vineyards, but the Alsace Grand Cru system is relatively new and a little bit controversial. Some producers think that when the Grand Cru vineyards were identified, that too many marginal vineyards were included, and they felt that the Grand Cru did not fully reflect the quality of what they thought Grand Cru vineyards should be. As a result, some producers refuses to use the term Grand Cru, even on wines that are from Grand Cru vineyards. Most Alsace Pinot Gris tend to be dry, but some Grand Crus may have a little bit of residual sugar in the wines to add richness. Sugar gives body, richness, brings up the flavours in the wine. Now, I did mention that Pinot Gris is one of four noble varieties, along with Riesling, Muscat, and Gewürztraminer. And the four noble grape varieties can be made in two particular styles. These are known as Vantage Tardif and Selection de Grand Noble. Vantage Tardif is just the Alsace term for late harvest. So they leave the grapes on the vine for a longer period of time. As the grapes stay on the vine, the sugar levels will build up and the acidities may come down a little bit. When they're finally picked, the sugar levels in the grapes should be high enough that they can choose to stop the fermentation early and produce a medium sweet style of wine. Or they could stop the fermentation later, making an off-dry style, or let it run all the way through to dry. So Vantage Tardif, like other late harvest wines, can be made in a dry to medium sweet style of wine by stopping the fermentation. Usually, to stop the fermentation, you'll chill the wine down and then filter out the yeast, removing the yeast and stopping the fermentation. Although sometimes high levels of sulfur dioxide can be added to stop the fermentation. Most Pinot Gris tends to be dry, but some Grand Crus may be a little bit sweeter to add richness. The second style of wine that you can make is sweet wines using botrytis. Pinot Gris is susceptible to botrytis. Botrytis-influenced wines are known as Selection Grain Noble. In other words, the selection of the grains with noble rot. Quite often referred to as just SGN. So you're going through the vineyard selecting grapes with noble rot. Only the four noble grape varieties, Pinot Gris, Riesling, Muscat, and Gewürztraminer, can be used for Vantage Tardif or Selection de Grand Noble. Some people get a little bit confused between Pinot Gris and Gewürztraminer. After all, both wines can be reasonably full-bodied, high in alcohol, with Pinot Gris typically having a little bit more acidity than your Gewürztraminer. Both wines are quite richly textured, but Gewürztraminer is an aromatic grape variety, and it often has very strong rose, floral, lychee type aromas, whereas Pinot Gris tends to be less so, often with ripe tropical fruit flavors and maybe hints of ginger and honey, as I said earlier. Now, I did say at the beginning, Pinot Gris is a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde. And we've seen the Dr. Jekyll, and now we're going to see the Mr. Hyde. And we're going to be talking about Italian Pinot Grigio. Most of the Italian Pinot Grigio comes from Veneto, which is in the north of Italy, in the northeast of Italy. And here, high yields of grapes are picked early and made in an unoaked, simple, dry wine, often with pear drops. Picking early in the warm climate means that the alcohols are lower and the wines retain some of the acidity. Although if the acidity is a problem, you can always add tartaric acid to it. These Italian Pinot Grigios are often cropped at quite high yields and they produce reasonably modestly priced wines. High yielding grape varieties are typically in low density planting. Now, while we think of Italian Pinot Grigio as an early drinking wine that used different clones to Alsace, there are regions in Italy that make high-quality Pinot Grigios, particularly in the northern regions in the foothills of the Alps, such as the alpine regions of Alto Adige and Trentino. Here, this alpine, coolish climate, around 46 degrees latitude, of the two regions, Alto Adige is the slightly further north, and vines are grown on slopes. Here, the wines tend to be dry, light to medium body, high acidity, and citrus green fruits. Whereas in the slightly warmer and flatter areas of Trentino, the wines tend to be more medium-bodied, medium acidity with stone fruit, and they're showing more ripeness than perhaps your classic Alto Adige. Pinot Gris is grown in other places. In Germany, Pinot Gris is known as Grauburgunder. Pinot Gris, the grey Pinot, well, Grau is grey, Burgunder is Pinot. So Grauburgunder just means the grey Pinot. And in Germany, Grauburgunder can be used by VDP, Verband Deutscher Prädikats von Güter, the top German producers, VDP producers, can make Grossgewürz wines. GG wines, as they're often referred to. Grossgewürz are dry wines, and Pinot Gris can be used to make Grossgewürz wines from VDP producers in Franken, Baden, and Pfalz. In New Zealand, Pinot Gris is a reasonably important grape, certainly not in the same league as Sauvignon Blanc, but the same thing that gives New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc such aromatic purity helps Pinot Gris. The dry autumns and the cool nights associated with big diurnals also help Pinot Gris. In New Zealand, they tend to call the wines Pinot Gris because they're following more of an Alsatian style, small grapes trying to make quality wines. The wines can be dry to sweet, but often off-dry is quite common. You think about what's going on in New Zealand, Sauvignon Blanc is made in a dry, high-acid style. So a Pinot Gris in its slightly different style of off-dry gives a very different style of wine that can be enjoyed in New Zealand. We talked about Alto Adige being an alpine area. The closest area to Alto Adige in New Zealand is probably Central Otago. Central Otago makes Pinot Gris here. It's a continental climate. It's got a very similar latitude to Alto Adige at 46 degrees. And they produce some very nice Pinot Gris. But also, the more maritime climates of Nelson and Marlborough at the top of the South Island also produce Pinot Gris. Right, that's our look at Pinot Gris. Cheers, and good drinking.